Hi, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying our haunting episodes of The Grave Talks, I invite you to check out our true crime and disaster podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. What do you do when you know something is wrong? Something with a person who's a trusted family member or friend who exhibits signs that they may not be right in their minds. Not only not right, but potentially dangerous to others. A danger that could go so far and deep that it could result in murder. Today, several stories of signs of a murderer on the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Signs of a murderer. Today, that's what we're going to be discussing on the Dark Side of Wikipedia. A little bit different than our normal format of the program, but similar in many ways. We're going to be going through some submissions, some Reddit submissions online of family members and friends who had a loved one or a close friend that something just kind of seemed off. And they didn't really know what or why, but all of the pieces added up once one of the darkest things occurred, murder. And then suddenly all those signs, all those hints, all those clues seem to all make a lot more sense. Should be an interesting episode. It's Tony and Sean joining you today. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform you listen to this program on, so you don't miss any episodes of The Dark Side of Wikipedia and get access to the archive as well. Anybody in your life, family, friends ever turn out to do such a deed that you look back on and went, shit, I should have, that makes sense now.
You know, I answer that question, Tony, and thank you for asking. When a doctor asks, have any allergies, allergic to anything? Well, none that I know of, doctor. None that I know of.
Yeah.
I have 26 cousins, so...
You got some odds there. I mean, that's got to be like, what, one in like, you know, I don't know, 10,000 would be a murderer. I figure your odds got to be somewhat okay there.
There's a higher chance, had my grandparents not been Catholic, that I would have a smaller percentage of, you know, being related to a murderer. I don't know. And that's very interesting because all too often the stereotype is, oh, yeah, he was quiet, kept to himself, bright student. Yeah, then he killed four people. And usually, what I'd like to think, if you have a friend or a sibling or a mom or a dad or your circle, if they are outlandish people where they'll have outbursts, they'll go a little kooky, they will be maybe have a little bit too much fun at the wedding reception, I'm very secure and okay with them because they know how to have that outburst productively. You know, not killing someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more a little bit the, oh yeah, he was really quiet. Never really showed any emotional outbursts. Oh yeah? Because some people have too many vodka lemonades at the wedding reception, and some people kill people. So, to answer your question, I don't think I'm related to a murderer. Are you?
Not that I'm aware of. That's something. And I'm just trying to, I'm going through my family member list going, do I suspect anyone of ever being a murderer? I don't think I do. I mean, I got some kooky relatives here and there. I got an uncle that's on the 4th of July, when I was a kid, would have M80 fireworks. You know, they're basically a small stick of dynamite. And he would light them and then throw them behind family members. And
oh, Uncle Tom.
Yeah. And then it just to freak everybody out. And but he wasn't like throwing them at them to hurt them. It was just, you know, it was far enough away where nothing would hit them, but it was certainly loud. And I remember him like tossing them behind my grandmother. Who was like, so I mean, potentially that could induce a heart attack, but, yeah, he was the only one who would do shit like that. And, he was more, I would say, I would compare him more to Kramer on Seinfeld than I would Jeffrey Dahmer or something like that. Just out there, but I don't think really, I don't know, he's a member of a gun club, you know, but there's many people who are members of gun clubs that are, you know, a lot of my family was back in Wisconsin, you know, hunters, fishermen, all that, the sportsman type people. And so he would do sportsman type stuff too, but I really never, you know, I never felt murderish, but I guess he was the quirkiest of all of my my family.
Is this uncle still with us?
He is. He is, but he's older now.
Is he available by cordless or to pipe him in here and to see what true joy he took in throwing military grade pyrotechnics behind people?
I don't know that would be a comfortable conversation, quite honestly, because
what the fuck, man?
Because his wife is like the nicest aunt I have, or at least one of them. She's one of my favorite aunts, and just the opposite. He's like the opposite of anyone you would ever expect to be the husband of this person, because it's like, you're like a saint. You're just like the nicest woman in the world. And you're always, I mean, to this day, I get cards from her just thinking of you, hope you're having a good day, you know, miss you, and just, you know, for the smallest thing that she hears about that's going on in my life, I get a card. And she's just a wonderful woman. And then there's him. It's like, what the fuck? But I mean, I can't say he's a horrible person, but it was just like the personalities don't seem to make a lot of sense in terms of the enmeshment of them. But that's none of my business.
I think there is, and this is something for another episode, but I think there's something to be said if one person in a relationship is so far one way and one is so far the other, mm-hmm. where the symmetry that they possess is they're very passionate about being something. In the case of your uncle, killing grandmothers on 4th of July. In the case of your aunts, making people feel special all the time.
Mm-hmm. And that's
both not murderers, to our knowledge.
To our knowledge, yeah. It's just, it's one of those weird dynamics that doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think we all have some of that in our families, where it doesn't necessarily mean there's murderers, but you just kind of shake your head going, how is this working out? How has this lasted 30, 40 years or whatever it is, 50 years. And it's like, I don't know. It just kind of makes you wonder. But let's go into some of these stories here today. These are stories from Reddit of individuals sharing that something was kind of wrong, but the actions were taken too late. And really, in most cases, there's no legal actions many can take simply on signs or gut feelings, just because that's how our society functions. So let's go into our first one here. My younger brother snapped and killed my mother and himself. He also tried and failed to go after my sisters, who were in the house at the same time. Our entire family suffers from some degree of mental disorder. He was the one who suffered the most from it. And in retrospect, there were a lot of things that could have prevented what happened. Our dad ended up offing himself after he turned abusive towards our mom and she moved to get a divorce. We were all pretty young and my brother was only 2, so he grew up without a father. My mom always had to work to provide for us, so we were left on our own devices for the most part. My sisters and I were always treating him pretty poorly. Started off as just being directed towards the youngest sibling and grew from there into us always having a strained relationship. My youngest sister always got into spats with him, and both would always instigate arguments with one another. In time, he ended up growing isolated and was always the odd one out. He was hard to get along with and inherited our dad's short temper and stubbornness. When puberty hit, his mental health got worse. He became more and more argumentative, and he became louder and more threatening. At one point, my mom ended up committing him to a children's psych ward for the time. She was convinced that my father suffered from schizophrenia and that my brother had inherited that. In retrospect, I think it was truly a combination of anxiety, depression, and ADHD, all exacerbated by his upbringing. Some time passed, and at one point, my mom found that someone had broke into her basement. Nothing was stolen, but that was incentive enough for her to purchase a gun for self-defense. I don't remember the details, but at one point, she gave him access to the key to the gun safe and forgot to take it back. One night, he was being incredibly hard to deal with. She was at work and was texting her and being a dick. She made the mistake of texting him flat out that she was going to have to commit him again. I still don't know why she made that decision. He had said before he'd kill himself before going back. That night, she went back home and everything was seemingly normal. At some point, he brought the gun out of his room and shot and killed her in the kitchen. My sisters ran and hid in their rooms, locking their doors. He went upstairs to kill them as well, but tried and failed to shoot the locks. It was a .22 pistol. The doorknobs were filled with holes, but he didn't get in. I'm still thankful that he gave up after failing to shoot them open. He couldn't have kicked the door without any trouble, but didn't think to do so. One sister escaped out of her window, but slipped on her way off the roof and broke her back, leaving her a paraplegic. The other waited things out in her room until it was safe to leave and escape through the other sister's bedroom. The police were already there at that point and brought her a ladder to get down safely. In the meantime, my brother had gone and shot himself in the bathroom. After some time, the SWAT team threw tear gas grenades through most of the windows and then breached the house, finding the bodies and bringing a close to the night's violence. I was in my apartment in another town away at college. I woke up that night to someone hammering on the apartment call button for my unit, but I ignored it as I figured it was one of my idiot friends. Then someone had let them into the building and heard the hammering on my door. Imagine my surprise to find three police officers at my door in the middle of the night. I thought I was caught since my apartment reeked of marijuana and I just smoked a bowl earlier in the day. Turns out they weren't there for the pot, but to tell me that my mom had died. They did not give me more details than that. Not that my brother had died or that he was behind it all. My younger sister had told them not to fill me in at once, as I had to make my way down. And she was worried that I'd be too emotionally charged to drive safely in the snow. In the end, the police drove me to my friend's house and they took me down to my hometown where I learned all the grisly details. I met with my younger sister and we stayed the night at her boyfriend's family's house. We laid in bed crying and talking until the sun came up. Then we watched cartoons with the family's dog in a lighthearted moment amidst the turmoil. I think I'll end the story there. There was a lot that could have changed the way things turned out, but of course, that is all in hindsight. Life doesn't allow us do-overs, so we've just had to keep moving forward with what has been handed to us. I know this will probably be buried, but I never catch these threads in time otherwise. That's the preview. If you want to hear the full episode, be sure to subscribe to Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.